I'm Kevin Casey. I'm a professional mixed martial arts fighter. And right now, what I'm about to do is issue a warning out to all other competitors.
I don't want overs. I just expect them to happen.
Fatty's gonna fatty is real.
Give me fucking truth, baby! Come on! Let's go!
How have I been this successful in life?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We're back. Slightly earlier than before, if you're watching live, which maybe tens of you will be. We appreciate you. We're back for another edition of the MMA Analysis. It's a big one. Some are saying the biggest card ever. The best card ever. I'm not saying that. I'm definitely not saying that. But it's a damn good card. And we've earned it. We have earned it. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, we definitely have sucked it up and dealt with the trash that has been delivered to us on a bunch of Saturdays recently. So enjoy this Saturday. Start to finish, lock in. It's good top to bottom. And I don't know when we'll ever get a card like this again, so fucking enjoy it.
I will give them deepest card ever.
That is one on easily.
I don't think we've ever seen anything quite to this degree when it comes to the quality of the prelims. We did also used to get, like, on the big weekends, like, three events in one weekend, yep. Two events in one weekend. Now they've got the slappy thing. Apparently that's still happening, and there's one of those on Friday night. So that's the big lead-in to UFC 300. Wesley, are you just jacked up for the free concussion thing before the UFC thing?
I saw something on Twitter earlier where who is a couple of UFC guys are commentating the car jiu-jitsu, the car fighting where they fight inside a car. That's like this weekend too or something. I'm like, I would much rather watch that. I've seen some clips of that shit. That shit is hilarious. Like, I would absolutely watch that way before I would watch some fucking slap fighting. That's for sure. Dudes choking each other out with seatbelts and shit. That is fantastic stuff. That's awesome.
Incredible. Can't sneak up on those guys in the back seat like in a movie.
That is
a life skill right there. That's what that is. We do have a card this week, very big, UFC 300, may have heard of it. We had a card last week, probably didn't hear about it, very small, Apex. Apparently the main event was good. Brennan Allen won a split decision over Chris Curtis. Lots of split decisions. I am literally just going to go through the results. If Wes wants to say anything on them, he can. I didn't watch a second. I don't think Sean watched a second. I didn't even have, like, not even, like, I didn't bet the cards, like, actual bets. I didn't have a single dollar on this event. Not even, like, $5 on some dumb parlay, like, full card parlay or something like that. Nothing. Not a cent.
I mean, we didn't have a podcast last week, and I think that's probably what saved you some dollars there, Brad, because then you weren't forced to kind of take a little peek at it. And
you know what? I think it cost me some dollars because I'm not sure if you saw the old Toutmaster, but I had a hell of a card on the Toutmaster. So
good stuff.
Maybe I don't think about this one either when I'm making my picks. So keep that in mind later on, folks. Anyway. Brennan Allen defeats Chris Curtis in the main event, split decision. Damon Jackson and his new hairline defeat Alexander Hernandez, also by split decision. If he still had the old hairline, that probably wouldn't play as well to the judges, and he wouldn't have got the decision. So, smart move. Damon Jackson, thinking ahead. Chepe Mariscal, split decision over Morgan Charrière. The Bahaman, first round knockout with the head kick over Yago. Charlie Campbell, unanimous decision over Trevor Peak. Alex Morono, unanimous decision over Court McGee. Lucas Brezhki, unanimous decision over Weal Walter Walker. Norma Dumont, unanimous decision over Jermaine Durandamy. She's still fighting. Holy shit. Victor Hugo, unanimous decision over... Holy... This must have been just, like, the worst thing ever to watch. Gene Matsumoto, a stoppage, a submission. 1 second left in round two over Dan Argueta. Cesar Almeida, round two TKO over Dylan Budka. These aren't real people, are they? And good old Cornholio, Nora Cornhole. Need Melissa Tanya Mullins so hard that some stuff came out of her cornhole, apparently. Allegedly. For a quick stoppage. She was like, she was a big number in this.
-350 yep. or something like that.
Yep. Wes, anything you want to say on those fights?
Yeah, I mean, the main was pretty good. Thought Brendan Allen, like, mixed it up pretty good on the feet with a guy that's probably a little better striker than him, definitely more power. Chin held up fairly good. There was a couple times in the fight that he got hit pretty good and stunned. That's, you know, that's why going forward, he's never going to be the top of the top. He's going to be fucking deaded by dudes because John's anytime, anytime he gets in them, into those exchanges, man, it's like he's the other guy's hitting him harder. Like it looks that way every time. Yep. But yeah, it was a good fight. It was, the split was, you saw people that bet Curtis, you know, was, oh, he was robbed. It, like, that split was hilarious. Like, Curtis did not win that fight. Like, I thought it was pretty clear 3-2 Allen. I had it 4-1 Allen. Thought it was purely clear 3-2 at worst.
Now, Wes, did you bet Brendan Allen? Should we preface that?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. But like most people I saw had Allen winning 3-2. There was just the people that bet Curtis. They had him winning and was screaming robber him. Like, even if they'd have gave that to Curtis, I mean, there was some close rounds in there. Like, come on.
It seemed like a close fight.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like, I think you'd have had a more argument if Curtis didn't, like, completely rip his hamstring in the last 30 seconds. Nasty. And like look like he got hurt and shit, and Allen was on him dropping bombs. Like, you'd have more argument if that fifth would have just played out to the end like it was going. After that, you had no argument. The dude literally tore his hamstring. Allen's on top of him dropping bombs. Like, that was the round in the fight. But yeah, I mean, sucks for Curtis. I mean, that guy like retires, come back, retires, has a streak. Now he like tears his hammy. Like, he's like, what, 36, 37 years old now. Like, that dude's, he's getting to be about done after this. But yeah, like I said about Allen, man, that guy's going to be that dude that's perennial top 7, 8, 9, 10 guy. Every time he gets a step up to somebody good, he's going to get clocked. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, rest of the card, Alexander Hernandez. I don't fuck that guy getting done by Damon Jackson like that. Even though it was a split, I thought Damon Jackson won, and I bet I had Hernandez and something.
That's a real one. That one counts.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I had the under there too, which was crazy.
So did I.
I thought Charrier, or however you want to say that, I thought he actually probably won that fight. That was a hell of a fight. Both of those guys are fun as hell. Though Baja Man, that dude's got just some insane like knockouts in his UFC career. I don't think he's like great or anything, but he pulls off shit every now and then that's absolutely insane. That was crazy. Campbell Peak was fun. Court McGee should go back to the halfway house and help out the people. Fatty's gonna fatty, super fatty, going long. However, that was funny. Yeah, Duranda May took 3.5 years off, had a kid. She should probably go have another kid, take another 3.5 years off. Yeah, everything else. Oh, Argueta winning the fight, 2-1 dog, looking good first round. Dude goes in for another takedown again, and that was hilarious. I'm literally like, man, Argueta's looking good, dude. 2-1 dog, and out of nowhere, gets choked out. So thought it was a pretty fun card overall.
He went out. Did he?
He went out enough. Like he came right back, but he was out. Like he got choked pretty much right on the edge of consciousness with a second.
I mean,
it was a good stoppage.
That's what you want from a guy when there's 3 seconds left in a round.
It was actually a good stoppage
with a second left, like Ankalaev.
Yeah, he definitely didn't pull Ankalaev. He went out enough.
Sometimes there's only so much you can do when you get caught up in the bear trap, all right?
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. I didn't even know that about Arandami. I just thought she never fights. She never fought when she was active, so I figured she was just never fighting because it was the normal thing to do. If I knew that there was mom quit involved, then I wouldn't have taken the dog in Toutmaster.
She didn't necessarily do any mom quit. She kind of stayed in it, but you could tell that it's 40-year-old mom, late in life mom, you know, layoff. And then Dumont was in there like new weight class at 135 and looked like she was on the Kayla Harrison fucking yam diet. Like it was bad for old Durandabe or however the fuck they were pronouncing it on the card. Like there was like three pronunciations going between three different dudes on that card. So I don't know how you pronounce that chick's name anymore, but does it even matter? We probably won't see her ever again. So
probably not. All right. Moving forward to this weekend, UFC 300. I'm not sure if you guys have seen this. I assume you have. What color do we think the mat's going to be? Let's talk about the important stuff first.
Regular color? Gray is
no,
always?
No, I think they're going to do something different.
Are they?
They did for 200. It looked like
you would assume it's got to be a light color because they have to, you know,
a lot of sponsors
plastered all over that goddamn octagon need to be very, very visible because, yeah, it's worse than NASCAR in there now. So I would assume it's going to be a lighter color.
Did you see the WWF ring now with the Prime logo in it? I feel like that logo would look excellent on a black canvas. You get like all the sponsors in like gold and stuff. Eh? That championship 300 gold, maybe.
Wasn't there one other time where they did a different ring kind of color setup? It wasn't just three. Didn't they do like a Harley Davidson ring one time or something? Or I'm just remembering that off. I thought there was like one other time there was a special kind of ring color setup.
I believe so.
I want to say it was Harley Davidson, but I could be like completely off on that.
Yeah. We'll maybe look that up as we're going through. But there was certainly, obviously, 200, the urine-soaked mat. I'm shocked that the yellow gold is the favorite, given how it looked last time. But again, most of these people weren't watching last time, so I can understand maybe betting it. But I don't know. I'll throw some stupid money on that. Like, they'll let me have like $25 probably. Anyway, let's get to the fight.
We did try to get him out. We couldn't even get him out of retirement with DuBronx on the card. He's the man that is always in the air. He's a busy, busy man these days. So sadly,
He just lives in Georgia now, and they don't have the internet there. So the only time he would be able to do the podcast is when he's traveling. But then he's old. And traveling, so he like gets to his hotel and goes to sleep right away. It's pretty sad, and he's bald. Yeah, it's rough. Too busy breaking down the golf, right?
He needs to come on the podcast to break the golf streak. Gotta do something. Holy shit, He started well this year in MMA. I think he's still doing fairly well, but it hasn't been as good as it was on the streak. And now he can't win a golf outright to save his life. So I think he needs to make
not even seconds decision anymore. Just like
we're not even getting close. So he might need to show his face on here and reverse the curse for all of our sake.
I mean, if he's not doing it for Dubronx on a card like this, then maybe
it's like all of the Dubronx fights lately.
The last couple, missed the Darius
Bearju,
one.
Everything. Sad. So maybe, maybe Dubronx wins, gets a title shot. He'll show up for that one, but I doubt it. I think he's retired. Anyway, it's been so long. Most of the people watching probably don't even know who we're talking about. Bantamweight division, two former champions of two different divisions. Figgy taking on Cody Garbrandt. Sean, who you got?
Crazy. This is the kickoff fight. Insane.
Yeah. We are,
especially since it's nowhere near the worst fight on the card.
No, they're just opening up with a banger.
Yeah, just an absolute banger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Seats right away.
This is awesome. I'm a dude who's faded Cody Garbrandt a bunch in the past. I haven't lost any money on him since the bantamweight flip, but he has not looked that good. Yes, he's got two wins. I know he got a finish against Kelleher, but he did not look good against Trevin Jones on his first, because that was at 35, right?
Yep.
Yes. That was his first 35 fight. But and I'm a guy that's backed Figgy a bunch. Figgy looked good at 35. I think he's going to be the bigger guy. I don't think 25 is really that hard of a cut for Garbrandt. I think it's more of a let's go up and wait and hopefully it helps my chin out, which that's going to get tested. I think Figueiredo puts him out. I think Figueiredo is going to be decent enough grappling if Cody's going to force that. And then when they're swanging and banging on the feet, I will 100% trust Cody or Figueiredo's chin over Cody's. So I put our friend Mr. Figgy in a parlay with something later on for two units.
Wesley.
Yeah, not a ton more to add to that. I think Sean kind of hit the important part for me to where I think Cody is, his move up is absolutely chin. Out of the necessity to think he can save that chin a little bit to where Figgy is had to move up to where that guy just was dying to make weight when he could make that weight anymore. And I mean, I don't think Garbrandt's going to be doing a lot of shooting in this fight. I think Garbrandt's going to be doing what he does best, and his hands are still incredible. But, man, Figgy's got a chin. I think Figgy can take that. I don't think Cody can take that Figgy stuff. And, man, we've talked a little bit already about the new drug testing and stuff like that. If you don't think Figgy wasn't on that good shit before, like he's pissing magma coming into this one. I like Figgy as well here. I have him in a parlay, and I think I'm probably going to take a little bit of that under 2.5. Either which way, I think one of these guys are getting out of there. If somehow Cody pulls off something, it's going to have to be a finish here. I mean, he's going to have to catch Figgy with something, or he's going to eventually get knocked out, in my opinion. So kind of like the under a little bit, but Figgy all the way for me.
I'm actually surprised that over 1.5 is as juiced as it is here, because I'm...
It could go down quick.
I think
1.5,
it's going to go down not too long after Figgy lands the first big one, because...
Oh, juiced on 2.5. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, he hits real hard, and Cody Garbrandt does not like being hit very hard. Well, maybe he likes it. I don't know. He certainly does it a lot. He's not very good at being hit hard. I think it's going to be a quick one for Figgy. honestly, if it's not, I think the price is too long. Like, if this turns into a three-round fight, Garbrandt's definitely skilled enough to stick with Figgy. If it just turns into a boxing match, I just think that there's going to be something big that lands early. So maybe we'll look at some like Figgy round one props. If the under 1.5 is plus 150, it's probably going to be a pretty decent price. So that's all I'm thinking there. Picking Figgy.
No, you know you had to play the Oilers tonight without McDavid, right? You had to take that price, right? I did. I don't know about y'all, but I did.
One of us is smart.
Yeah. Moving up to the lightweight division, Bobby Green taking on the star of the show, Jimmy fucking Miller.
Are we going to get it? Have we heard, or are we going to get it? Are we going to get the buffer? Is it going to happen?
Buffers, I think, is lame, and so I don't think he's going to do
it. I heard he said if it's approved.
He might say frickin'.
I think I heard him say that if it's approved and shit, he'll do it.
But isn't this fight going to be on ESPN or like something like that?
Yeah, if it is, then there's no way.
Are they? I'm assuming they're showing all of these on ESPN. Like the prelims.
I honestly haven't looked.
Let's see. Yeah, it's the from the start. It's on.
Yeah, we're not ESPN, getting that. So getting that.
I wonder if they're gonna have odds on that as well. That's when you know MMA's really made it, when they've got the novelty bets starting to trickle in. That's the good stuff right there. Anyway, Bobby Green, Jimmy fucking Miller, Sean.
I think I'm the only guy on this podcast that hasn't been cashing in on Jimmy Miller in this like late career resurgence against a bunch of bums. I haven't been losing money. I don't think I've been fading him. Just kind of steering clear. I'm not touching this fight. This feels like one where Bobby Green could just give it away. You don't like betting Bobby Green when he's a minus, 200 favorite close to it. You like to bet him as an underdog, and he's never going to be an underdog. It opened minus 110. I don't know if you knew that, but that's pretty wild. I probably would have taken Bobby Green at minus 110, but, I'll just steer clear. I hope Jimmy fucking Miller does it. I'll pick Bobby Green to get it done. Just for your guys' sake. Wes. You're welcome.
This fucking guy. Is he serious? You're not serious, right, John? Not serious.
I'm not betting.
Jimmy fucking Miller, 300. Come on, man. No, seriously,
and good old Green coming off and absolutely annihilated, which I did cash in on. So.
It's a close fight. I could see playing out, a couple different ways, but I think you had another thing that like you want either of these guys as dogs. You don't want to lay minus 200 on either of these dudes. You want them in spots to where they're slight underdogs in close fights. And that's what we're getting here. I know Jimmy Miller's getting a little older. Green's 37 years old too. Like he's not some young cat anymore. So, I just think this gets into some weird stuff like Bobby Green fights always do. And I think Jimmy Miller pulls off one of those crazy subs. I think that's just what I'm seeing happening. At plus, I think there's some plus 160s on Jimmy, 158 at old Mason book. I kind of like the under at plus money because I think Bobby Green's going to need to land something and hurt Jimmy, probably get him out of there. Or I think like how I see it going, I think it gets stupid and Jimmy catches him with something. So I kind of like the under. I like Jimmy Miller kind of small just because he's the dog in his spot. I just think it's a really close fight. And then Jimmy Miller by sub there's some plus 600 sitting out there. So I don't mind a little shot on Jimmy Miller sub as well. It's Jimmy fucking Miller, man. USC 300. Come on. Come on. We're taking a little of that.
Yeah. Honestly, Bobby Green should win this fight.
Yep. Yep.
But Bobby Green should win a lot of fights that he doesn't end up winning. And as Wes said, Jimmy Miller's not the old, the only old guy in this fight. His first career fight was in 2005. Bobby Green's was in 2008. So, like, both of these guys have been around for a long, long time.
One dude got slick last time, too.
He's been getting hit a lot.
Yep. Lately. Yep.
Like, Bobby Green used to be super tough to finish. And, like, yep. He would hang around in fights and he would give guys problems. He's been finished in, like, his last 4 or 5 losses. Quite a few. Jim Miller hasn't been finished since he fought Dubronx. And
wild.
Bobby Green's been fighting much better competition, but he is clearly not at that level of competition. And I think this is basically just an even fight where I'm definitely going to bet on Jim Miller to catch something, whether it's, you know, another left hook or something like that, or if they get into a scramble and he just grabs his neck. I think Jimmy Miller's going to find a way. So we'll take a little dog shot in here. This is MMA, so like the worst possible thing is probably going to happen in this fight. I don't know what that is, but it involves Jim Miller losing, obviously. So hopefully we don't get that. Anyway, we're going to move it on to the women's strawweight division. Marina Rodriguez taking on Jessica Andrade.
Good chick fight.
It's a good chick fight. I like Andrade here. Now that she's not taking like late notice fights, couple days notice, couple weeks notice against, you know, pretty good competition,
it matters
a lot. I don't like, she lost 3 in a row there. They were against good to pretty damn good competition. But that's just like not her. She was just taking too many late notice fights. I think, and especially at this weight class back down at 15, she seems more disciplined. I don't think Marina Rodriguez has fought a person as physical as Andrade is going to be. I think Andrade can take her down. But I think she's going to box her up on the feet. And I think Andrade does get a finish because she is very powerful, in this weight class. So I took a 1-unit shot on Andrade inside the distance at +210.
Wesley.
Yeah. All the things Sean said about Andrade. And then, you know, look at that, the 3-fight, you know, losing streak against Blanchfield, Jan, and Suarez. Like, Marina Rodriguez is not bodying up Andrade like those chicks were. You know what I'm saying? Those were big chicks that could get a hold of her, could slow her down. Rodriguez is going to stand there and try to throw some punches with fucking Jessica Andrade, and you know what's going to happen. She's going to get caught. It's going to happen eventually. I think, you know, Andrade at 115, way more disciplined. She looks way better back down at this weight. I like her quite a bit in this fight. I think this is kind of a gift of a line, man. -130 now. I think I got her right around -126 or 127, something like that. I don't mind that inside the distance at around +200. Don't mind the under as well. It's plus money, something +135s out there. Don't hate the under as well, but kind of like Andrade a lot in this spot. I think she's kind of got back on her game once she started getting away from those short notice fights and got back down at 115. Sean's absolutely right about the physicality too here. Marina Rodriguez is a beanpole. She's going to get bodied in this fight.
She may get bodied to the body in this fight. Ooh. That may be where the TKO comes from, or KO.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, I like Andrade here. I like this. I know that Rodriguez has a win over the person fighting for a belt this weekend. But if she wins this fight, this would be her best win by like a very clear margin. And I think, as we see in a lot of women's fights right now and men's fights, just when two people are fighting, physicality matters. And one of these people is a whole lot more physical than the other. I like Jessica Andrade. So minus 135 is low enough that I'm going to take it. I think that was DraftKings has that right now. So yeah, that works for me. Lightweight division. Jalen Turner, Renato Moicano. How many times, Sean, do you think Renato Moicano voted for Jair Bolsonaro in the last election?
17.
More or less than Aldo. Ugh,
that's a tight race right there. Man, shout out to Moicano. He's you know, not giving a fuck. He's trying to market himself. It's good to see somebody just, you know, do something different, come out of his shell. You got to differentiate yourself somehow in this 2024 UFC. So props to this dude. I kind of side with Jalen Turner here. I'm not going to bet it. I think Jalen Turner is just like the longer fighter. Yeah, I think he has bigger power. And, you know, if Moicano gets hurt, you know, he's in some of his other fights has been able to like grapple and slow down the fight. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that against Jalen Turner. So it's just tough laying -225 with Jalen Turner is always scary because he has kind of shit the bed at points in his career. So I'm steering clear of this fight, but I think Jalen Turner gets a win and, you know, maybe early in the second, something like that.
Wesley.
Yeah, I kind of like Turner in this fight too, but mainly because we've seen Moicano, even in his very last fight, get just caught repeatedly and hurt repeatedly. He could just get takedowns. I wouldn't be shocked if he couldn't do that here, though. Like, Jalen Turner can absolutely be taken down. Like, Moicano can get takedowns on him. It's a tough one for me. The angle I was kind of looking at here is the over 1.5. Like, I just, if Turner doesn't, like, knock out Moicano, like, early, mid-first or something like that, I think you've had some exchanges and that chin's been tested and Moicano is probably trying to get a hold of Turner and the fight's just slowing down. So I kind of like the over 1.5 here. I lean Turner for the win, but man, just at a juice price like that, I just wouldn't be shocked if Moicano can't get some takedowns here and control the fight. So we'll probably take a little bit of that over 1.5.
I'm mostly on the same page as you guys with Turner. I'm a little hesitant on that over 1.5 because, like you even said it, if Turner can just slick him early in the first round.
It can happen.
I think there's a pretty damn good possibility that happens here. So it's enough to keep me away. I don't know that I love the money line enough to do anything with it in a parlay. I think this might just be a pass for me, but I'm picking Turner. Sorry. Sometimes I'm boring. Featherweight division. Sadiq Youssef. Motherfucker stole our bit. Being on Diego Lopez. Sean?
Yeah, he definitely did, but that's, I guess it's okay.
It's not the first time, won't be the last time.
Yeah. This will be a decent test for Diego Lopez. I guess I'm probably more skeptical on him than some people. Obviously had that good fight against Evloev where he just tossed up a million subs and then smoked Gavin Tucker and Pat Sabatini. I think if, you know, if this fight stays on the feet, then I think Sadiq will have the slight advantage there. I'm not sure Lopez is going to be able to get Sadiq down. So I'll pick Sadiq Youssef, but maybe Lopez is better than I think, and he, you know, takes out Yusuf.
Wes?
I actually think Diego Lopez is really good. I just think this is not a great matchup for him. I think Yusuf is just the way better technical striker, and I'm not sure Lopez can get in on him and get him to the mat and stuff. Like Yusuf, I mean, if you watch most of his fights, like they mostly play out slow and how he wants them to. And I mean, Lopez is going to have to make this kind of wild, get in and get wild. I mean, he could do that, but man, Yusuf just controls fights very well. He keeps them how he wants them to go. And at dog money here, like this is absolutely by far the best guy that Lopez has ever fought. So,
and well, he fought Evloev, but he lost to him.
Well, yeah, that was the short notice and all that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think this is not a great matchup for him, man. I like Yusuf at a dog price here. Nothing big, but we'll be taking a little bit of that.
Kind of continuing the trend here. Eventually, I'm sure we'll disagree on some stuff. I think this is also going to be the big octagon, which I know some people try and pretend that it doesn't make a difference. It does.
It's a massive difference. Yeah. Massive difference.
That's going to be a lot of space for Yusuf to be able to keep this a clean, slower, you know, one exchange at a time kind of fight. If Lopez can get him into the kind of brawl that he wants, I think that probably favors Lopez. I just think it's going to be very, very difficult in the octagon. So, or the big octagon, obviously. They're always in the octagon. Yeah. Yusuf, dog, maybe Yusuf decision, because we've seen, you know, Lopez has looked kind of durable in the past of what we've seen from him. So we're going to be ending up on that, Wesley.
275 plus 275. Yusuf decision.
Not bad. Plus 115 money line, 275 decision. I'll probably be dumb and go decision in that spot and lose when he knocks him out. Women's bantamweight, allegedly, division. Holly Holm taking on Kayla Harrison. How many fighters, Sean, do you think have been on PEDs the quality of what Kayla Harrison, not necessarily currently, is on, but has been on throughout her career? I mean, we're talking about an Olympic athlete here.
Well, I mean world-class athletes get world-class drugs. What are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen her, like, the past 2 days? Like, bro, god damn.
Yep, she is.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, god
damn. It's all allegedly.
Natural, all natural games, baby.
I threw a dart on Holm by decision at plus 600. Kayla probably gets takedowns and smashes her, but Holm somehow makes fights close and boring. Maybe Kayla forces her to have an exciting fight, but I kind of doubt it. 600 on Holly Holm in a three-round fight. I had to throw a stab at it.
Wes?
Yeah, I don't see it. Holm is, she's getting AARP level age in this shit, dude. Like, she's 42 now. She, like, Harrison's getting taken.
Prime 42.
I'm not running out to lay minus 450 or whatever, but a little Harrison decision is the way I'm looking. That's plus money as well. It's not plus 600, but I think it's the much more likely outcome. So Harrison decision plus 115. Holm's tough. She's probably just going to lay on her back, and Harrison likes to do a bunch of nothing, just stay on top and do enough to win rounds. And I think that's what she does here. So Harrison by decision.
Let me tell you a little story.
No.
The last time.
Oh, there he goes.
Olympic judoka. Sometimes an Olympic judoka was supposed to be able to get takedowns and dominate Holly Holm from top. You remember what happened, Wesley?
Wasn't that like, wasn't that like 10 years ago?
It absolutely was. And Kayla's at least 10 years older than Ronda was at that point. Yeah, I think the takedown's not going to be all that easy. We were just talking about how there's a lot of room in there. And Holly Holm is no stranger to dancing, high-stepping, ki-eyeing her way to a boring decision win. I think that is very possible here. But
you know what
Holm told us.
You know what Holm does have
outside the hedge, oh, sorry, right?
Yeah, that I mean, isn't that what we want to see? Like I would rather see that. But you know, Holm, I think you're right with the takedowns like not being that easy, but I think that Holm getting pushed to the cage and held on for a lot of time in this fight is going to be very easy for Harrison.
Yep. Although if there is any era where you can get out grappled for 4 minutes and 50 seconds, but still win a round, it's right now. Like, frankly, yep, that's probably happening too much in MMA at the moment.
They have gone like way extreme on that, right? Like,
yeah,
I will never agree that 4 minutes and 50 seconds of complete control and you land one okay punch wins a round. I will never agree with that. That is stupid. Yeah. That
damage, is fucking sir. Stupid. Only fuck damage.
Fuck. In the real
here's what it's going to do, though. It's going to force guys that fucking do nothing on the ground to actually do something on the ground, and then that's either good for them and they land some ground and pound or something, or good for the guy that is going to get up from it. So it's a bit of an overcorrection, but it's an overcorrection that promotes violence. There's plenty of rules that have done the complete opposite. So I'll take it.
Yeah.
Fair.
I'll take
it. Anyway, I think the decision is the distinct possibility, but it's 500 number. Money lines plus 360. Just going to take money line in that case, in case she does go full Ronda and matadors or like flails her way into the cage and gets head kicked. Should be awesome. What are we at? Featherweight division. Just bouncing back and forth in the lighter weights here. So it should be good to start off the card. Calvin Cutter. Aljamain Sterling. Moving up 10 pounds. Sean, is he still going to be the bigger fighter in this fight?
He might be, man. That dude is looking swole as fuck. Like, holy crap. He didn't put any soft weight on, that's for sure. This is only a 3-round fight, so I guess he doesn't have to worry about gassing out too much. I think this is, like, if Aljo doesn't get takedowns, this is going to be a tough fight. I know Aljo's got good kicks, and he's going to try to keep it at distance, but I think Cater has some of the best boxing in the UFC. Obviously not the best, as we saw what Max Holloway did to him, but still some pretty good boxing. I think going up in weight is doesn't usually work out for too many fighters. So I think this is a good test at 45 for Sterling. I think Cater can stuff some takedowns and do some damage on the feet. I'll take the guy that's at the weight class, taking the guy that's coming up. I got a unit on him at like plus 145.
Wesley.
Yeah. This is a tough one for me, because Aljo's my boy. I was on that train early. I think he had to move up. I think the weight cut was just not getting any better for him at this point. But man, in this fight, like, if he doesn't get like some some good consistent takedowns and control on Okader. I think he's going to get pieced up, man. Like Aljo's hands just never were that good. Like he always had that range kick and stuff, which he stopped using a lot lately. Like he doesn't really use it as much as he used to. We've seen the chin start to look a little. I mean, O'Malley's got some decent power, but fuck, man, he like clocked Aljo. You're going to have a bigger guy than that in front of you that's got some really good hands. I might have to take some Cater here, plus money. I don't think this is the greatest matchup for Aljo moving up. It's close, though. No plans right now. Leaning Cater, though. I just think all the circumstances, I'm not sure this is a good first fight up at 145 for Aljo.
I'm not really concerned about him being able to get the grappling going. Because even if he doesn't get straight up takedowns, he's going to hold on to him. He's going to get around to his back. He's going to force scrambles. And it's not like Cater's an excellent defensive grappler.
What are the numbers on his takedown defense? I've always kind of thought of him as a pretty good.
He's got like 70 or no, sorry, he's 91. The guys that have taken him down are
who is Burgos getting down? I thought Burgos got him down once, or he just had a lot of cage control on him, right?
I don't have the UFC stats open. Wes, you're the stats nerd amongst us.
Oh, I'm blind. Yeah, so the beat took him down. Chris Fishgold took him down both once. And that's it.
Have that many people tried to take him down?
Josh Emmett tried to take him down a bit.
Aljo's definitely way better than all of those guys. So
Ige tried to take him down 9 times.
It's not bad.
He's a terrible wrestler. So, well, not like a terrible wrestler. Not a good offensive wrestler.
Yeah, he's really not gone against a bunch of guys that are going to necessarily try to do that. Eh.
Like, no, Lamas would have tried to take him down, but he knocked him out in the first round.
Yeah.
Which I guess is possible here.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, he hasn't faced many grapplers. I think this is by far the best grappler that he's faced.
Yeah. Definitely that.
So we'll see. And also the best kicker that he faced was probably when he fought Moicano, and Moicano kicked the shit out of his legs. So Aljo might just be able to do that too, because he's a great kicker. And this is only 3 rounds. Like, he can keep up the yawn kicking pace that he couldn't keep up in their first fight. So yeah, I like Aljo quite a bit. Turns out quite a bit.
we go.
I didn't know that until I talked about it. No bet yet at this point. Light heavyweight division, and this is the prelim headliner, which I guess like kind of actually means something on a card this good. Jiří coming back, taking on Alexander Rakic. The heat in this one. He called him a fake samurai.
Dangerous. That's a dangerous game he's playing.
No dumb question here, Sean. Sorry.
Okay, that's fair enough. I'm not touching this fight. This screams chaos. This screams light heavyweight. Should Jiří win? Probably, but Yuri's also does dumb shit in there and can get clipped. So I'm not too confident in Jiří. Don't really like any totals. I'm just staying away. I think Jiří gets it done, but I don't know. Light heavyweight's just kind of a dumpster and stupid shit happens. It seems like a high variability fight, so I'm just going to stay away.
Wes?
Yeah, I like Jiří here. I've never really thought much of Rakic. I think he's a fucking point fighter. He wants to just win rounds and win decisions. And I don't think Yuri's going to let him do that in this fight. I think he's going to have a hard time dealing with Yuri's pressure and just his weird fighting style. And then, we can't forget that Rakic hasn't fought in like 2 years now, coming off like a bad leg injury and shit. Like, Jiří has been active. Like, I like him in this fight. You're getting like slight plus money on Jiří here. I'm not a fan of Rakic. I think he's a point fighter. I think he's a boring point fighter, and a guy that's going to be aggressive on him is going to give him problems, and that's fucking Jiří. So we'll take a little Jiří here.
I'm not a big Rakic fan either, but I can very much see the ways that he can board his way to a win in this fight.
Definitely.
Because Yuri's going to come forward. There's going to be exchanges, but I could just see him jumping into the clinch and pushing him up against the cage or shooting some reactive takedowns. And those are all there to be had against Jiří because he's so focused on just trying to hurt people, which is wonderful. I just think it could work to his detriment in this fight. I definitely don't want to bet Rakic. Maybe over 1.5. Don't love that. Definitely don't love over 2.5. I think it's like Sean. It's a pass.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the dumb shit that happens in this fight.
There you go. That's not a bad idea. And then we get to the real dumb shit. Main card, middleweight division, Bo Nickel, and main card Cody Brundage. Whew. What do we got, Sean?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you guys can clue me into taking some stupid prop that's a big number or something in this fight, but I think Bo Nickel's going to smash him. Nick Maximoff was able to ground out Cody Brundage. I think Bo Nickel is going to do some work. He probably does it by sub, so I guess if you're going to play it that way, but I'm just going to enjoy him smoking this dude.
There you go. Wes?
Yeah, I know I saw some people that are like, don't think that, you know, Nickel deserves this sort of spot on this kind of card and stuff. And I'm like, y'all always want new stars in this sport.
We always bitch. There's no stars.
Yeah, and then they're trying to push a legitimate, like, talent that could be the dude for years to come, and people have a problem with it. They're building him up perfect. They're giving him, this is the level of competition he should be destroying right now. Look, he's going to kill this guy. I put the under 1.5 in a small parlay for shits, just so I'm going to have a little action on every fight. It's 300, but that's my little action bet on this. Just a little bit on the under 1.5 in a small parlay. I think Bo Nickel gets us up here very, very early.
That's fair. I think that was plus 160, round one sub, which is what I would anticipate is going to happen as well. But like, yeah, Bo Nickel's, he's not some like young prospect. His time as a young prospect was when he was busy being one of the greatest wrestlers ever.
It's a different base, man.
Like, yeah, that automatically accelerates the timeline a little bit. So don't feel bad about him being on the main card of a massive event. I think he runs through Cody Brundage, and yeah, I hope he gets pushed like guys like the Gumshot guy. Is he still around? Is he doing anything these days?
He's going to be fighting Whitaker in Saudi Arabia.
When you can only fight on in deserts and shit because you can't get a visa, you don't get to fight often. You know what I'm saying? Yep.
So Bo Nickel here. I don't know that I'll bet it. You know, I was like, oh, UFC 300, I'm going to have like a shitload of bets. And then like I started actually looking at the fights. And I was like, oh, that's a pass for me. That one's tricky. Like, I'm not going to have nearly as much. Did you say
buckle
fuck
up?
Fuck that. We're spraying the board, baby. It's UFC 300.
Well, like now we get into some more stuff. Yep. But even then, like, not too much. I was going to try and build off that. I couldn't. Sorry, I failed you. Okay. Lightweight division, Dubron taking on Armin Sarukian. Sean.
If you get Dubronx at plus 180, plus 200 against anybody, I don't even give a shit if it's Mac and Cheese. I'm taking him. This guy is one of the best finishers in UFC history. He has a very good striking game to go with his grappling. Sarukian's probably going to get him down a couple times. Sarukian's never fought a guy that can grapple and scramble like Oliveira. I don't think Oliveira is just going to lay down there and do nothing. He's going to try to get up. And then when it's when it's on the feet, I think Armin's going to get hit a bunch. And I got to take Dubronx. I got him at plus 200. I got 2 units.
Wes?
I think this is a very, very tough fight for Dubronx. Like, I think Sarukian is the real of the real. But you get one of the greatest finishers in MMA history at plus 200 against anybody. I'm repeating Sean here. You take that shit. Like, you take it, you roll the dice. Like, Dubronx has lost one time, once, in like the last 6.5 years. You're telling me you're not going to take plus 200 on that? I'm absolutely taking that. Might take a little bit of the under 2.5 as well. I think either which way this goes, Dubronx is going to catch something, or he's going to go out on his shield like he always has before. So kind of like the under as well, but we'll absolutely be on Dubronx. It's a 2-1 dog here.
Yeah. Obviously going to be betting Dubronx in this spot. In addition to the money line, I mean, he has 22 wins in the UFC. 16 of those wins have been by submission. And his sub price is like plus 450 in this spot. I think I'm going to have to take some Dubronx.
That's how good his hands have got.
But even then, sometimes he'll hurt somebody. Like, he didn't last time, but sometimes he'll hurt somebody and just jump on his back and choke him out anyway. It's the, yep, the meerkat effect, you know?
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to be on. It's an extremely tough fight. I don't feel like this is a great bet. Like, it feels like a fight where he could just get taken down and controlled and lose. But you got to stick with your guys. So we're going Dubronx. We're hoping. I've seen some clips where, like, Sarukian's in tight and he's grappling and he eats some, like, pretty big knees to the body. And we know that Dubronx can break the guy down with that. So I'm going to rely on the body work, get that head ducking down, and then just open up all the front chokes. Or just punch him real hard and choke him. That works too. Dubronx. Lightweight division. Okay, so I got duped. Because I flipped to the UFC countdown. It was on Monday because the national championship sucked. So I flipped over the countdown and they were like, 3 title fights. I was like, oh, cool. What's the third title fight? This was the fucking third title fight, the fairy tale shit. Honestly, it makes an awesome fight like this worse for me that it has all this stupid shit attached.
You just gotta not give a fuck. And the one positive is that these guys will get some pay-per-view points. Because it's actually,
do they actually legitimate. Do we know that?
Yeah, I believe that is true. So I just don't give a shit about that. This is an unbelievable fight. I think there's just going to be a power difference. I know Holloway's the cleaner striker, but I think Gaethje is going to throw a lot of leg kicks and he's going to throw hammers. And I think for the most part, like, I think Holloway's going to be able to eat it. Like, I just find it hard to believe really anybody can survive 5 rounds against Justin Gaethje if you're losing. So I don't know, maybe we see our first time ever that Max gets finished. I really just think that there's going to be a power difference like there was in the Poirier fight when it came up. I think Gaethje has bigger power than Poirier. I don't know, that might be controversial, but yeah, I think it's just the power difference Holloway's not going to be able to make up the difference with volume when it comes to that power. So I put Gaethje in that parlay with Figgy for 2 units at +117.
Wesley.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me because you got to think about, you know, when Max moved up last time and how it went. For me, though, I think there's just a difference here with that, though, is that Poirier has had and has an insane chin. And Max was all over Poirier in that fight. Just the power caught up to Max. It might here. But, man, like, nobody really talks as much about Gaethje. Is like his chin has been susceptible for a while. He's got insane recovery. That's what he's got. He doesn't have a great chin, but his recovery is stupid. When does that stop happening? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's taken a lot, bro. And Max is gonna fucking get off. He's gonna land shit. One of these times that recovery isn't going to be there, or he's going to get stunned and feel like Michael Johnson had Gaethje on skates. Like, so many guys has this dude hurt constantly. Max Holloway, that is insane. I actually bet Michael Johnson in that fight. Like, and I was like counting my money, bro. I was like, but like, we've seen that happen. Like, Gaethje is hurt constantly in fights, man. Is like I said, recovery insane, legendary recovery and getting back in fights. But I don't know, man. Max is going to be throwing fucking 100 punches around in this fight. Does that Gaethje power get him quick enough before the volume of Max is all over testing that chin? There's some serious questions for me in this fight, man. Max is at a plus number. That's like, this might be the toughest fight on the card for me, just because I can make a case for both guys. Sean's case is perfectly legitimate with the power, but I don't see enough people talking about Gaethje's chin, man. It's gotten to where this dude's got some crazy good chin and can just throw bombs with people. And man, he's been hurt over and over and over the past 3 or 4 years. So can Max hurt him and finish that and get him out of there? Yeah, there's absolutely a possibility that happened. Right now, I lean Max, especially at the dog number. But man, it's really close. It'll probably be a small bet for me. This nothing like a full legitimate play for me on this fight, though. I just think it could go either way. So Max is the pick. Very, very small bet.
I haven't thought about it as much as Wes has. I just think the power is going to be too much. I think that was the difference in the Poirier fight, because everything that you said was true. Max landed a lot, like, kind of hurt Poirier in some spots, maybe. I think they landed about the same, but it was just one guy when he landed, he landed. And I think even more than Poirier was able to do that, Gaethje would be able to do that and maybe get him out of there. I wouldn't be shocked, because Max has taken his fair share over the years as well. And this could be, if he's going to go in one, I could see it very much being one like this. So, yeah, I'm taking Gaethje. And what do we have for TKO price? It can't be great given that it's 5 rounds.
It's not as big as what you would hope. TKO +165, like, that's against a guy that's never been finished. Like, come on, give me a better price.
Yeah, maybe just money line, or maybe still a pass on this one. Don't love it, but might have to do it. Strawweight division. for the belt. Some sort of history here, I'm sure, being made. Two Chinese fighters fighting for a belt. Cool.
In Vegas.
Yep. Will the crowd boo both of them?
No, the crowd's going to start chanting USA while two Chinese fighters show.
That is going to be some classy shit.
Do we get a, you know, because we like to keep politics out of sports, do we get a Trump appearance on Saturday?
How could you not? How could you not?
His last
He's
night.
For sure coming.
Like his last weekend as a free man before his trial starts.
Oh, baby. His first, his first trial. His first trial.
Yeah. And he's. Is he going to have more trials or wives by the end?
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. There's hard-hitting questions here at the MMA Analysis. Anyway, Wei Li Zhang. Yeah. Oh, no. It's a different one.
Yan Xiaonan. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say a completely different name, but that's probably how most people feel about the challenger in this fight. Minus 500. Wei Li gonna body this chick.
Yeah. Yeah. Wei Li is the better striker, the better grappler. I think she can get it down, done on the feet or on the ground. I think she gets Yan Xiaonan out of there. I got her Wei Li inside at plus 105 for a unit.
I think I'd pick Wei Li against Yao's your boy, too.
Oi.
Wes?
Yeah, just not too much to add here. I don't. Wei Li is very, very good, man. She's a very good fighter. I think she's just going to truck this chick. I got her at a better price. In a parlay at around minus 350. 360, somewhere in that range, and I like that inside the distance bet as well. I think she's just going to absolutely crush this shit.
Carla dominated Yan on the ground to the point that she got a stoppage. So yeah, I
that's
think
she's insane.
Just... What was that?
That's insane. Carla, as far as I got a finish.
Exactly. She is... Wei Li is going to maul her. I might look at some early round props in this one because I think you're still going to get pretty big prices because I think this is just going to be ragdoll city and ground and pound and over relatively quick. So I saw something like 500 in round one, 600 round two, stuff like that. So I'm sure there'll be better prices throughout the week, but that's where I'm looking here. Dominance. Nice. Main event. I think this is why, like, the top two fights, you cannot call this the greatest card ever.
Nope. Yep, you can't do
Not
it.
Not even close.
Can't do it.
Like, this is fun fight. Like, kind of a title fight, I guess, or like a you know, deserving title fight. It just, I guess it's missing something for me. Although Glover will be in the corner, which always adds to the intrigue. But Alex Pereira defending the light heavyweight title against Jamal Hill. Never lost the belt. Come back. So I guess there's that thing going on. But like really we're acting like he was the most deserving champion in the world when he beat a 48-year-old Glover.
That's light heavyweight, baby.
That is. Or at least it used to be.
Yeah. I love Pereira here. Jamal Hill has never went for a takedown. That probably changes on Saturday. I think he's going to try. I think Pereira will be able to stuff it or make him pay enough when he takes him down and end up getting back up. I just have never been a Hill fan. He's, I don't know. Him just getting smoked by bear jew has left a bad taste in my mouth. But yeah, like his wins have not. I mean, the Glover win is the Glover win. Other than that, though, his wins really haven't. You know, and once again, that's light heavyweight. It's if you look at anybody's, I guess, track record, it's not going to carry much weight just because it's light heavyweight's trash. But I think this fight is going to be on the feet almost the whole time, and in a kickboxing fight, I will take Alex Pereira. He is gonna leg kick the living fuck out of Jamal Hill, and then he is gonna be very plodding and not moving, and Pereira's gonna knock his ass out. So I love Pereira, 3 units, -125.
Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, you know, take out the Glover fight. Like, do people remember, like, no need Thiago Santos, how that fight was going for Jamal Hill for like 3 rounds in that fight? It was tough. Strictly kickboxing. It was tough. What the fuck do they think's gonna happen when it's Alex Pereira kickboxing this guy for 3-4 rounds? Like, I don't think Hill's very good. I mean, he is what he is. It's light heavyweight. Pereira has proven himself over 2 weight classes against some of the best dudes in those weight classes. So I like Pereira a lot here, man. I mean, even if Hill can get this, you know, get a hold of him, get him to the cage and try to get takedowns, like, I think we've seen Pereira's, like, his takedown defense has gotten better and better and better. He's learned to back him when he's back to the cage. Like, he's learned little things, the hooks and stuff to make it very hard to get consistent takedowns on him. So, and I'm just not sure how much Hill is even gonna do that. I think Hill wants to strike as well. I mean, that's just where he's okay at as well. So I think this is gonna get ugly for him. Eventually, Pereira's gonna connect. I think Sean's right on the leg kicks. He's gonna kick the shit out of Jamal Hill, and it's not going to be a good thing. So in a fight that I think is going to be primarily a kickboxing match, I don't think there's too many guys at 205 pounds on the planet that I'm taking over Alex Pereira in a kickboxing match.
Yeah, that's basically what it boils. If Jamal Hill comes out and immediately starts grappling, he's already lost. Like, it's over. Actual good grapplers have not been able to effectively grapple Alex Pereira. Like, Jamal Hill's not suddenly going to be the guy that does that. He should come out and strike, but, like, if you consider this a kickboxing match and you see that Alex Pereira is -125, I don't know how many kickboxers I wouldn't take him at that price against. So I don't really know what's different. Like, obviously smaller gloves. Hill does have power. He's exceeded my expectations pretty much everywhere throughout his career. I just think he's going to end up in a kickboxing match with a guy who is one of the best kickboxers in the world. And he's not. It's kind of that simple to me. Maybe there's something that he does that's weird and throws Pereira off. But even if you think that, Glover was in there with him for 25 minutes. And he got hit by everything that dude could possibly throw. And now he's been training with Pereira, coaching him for the past however many months that this fight has been planned for. On what's coming. So it's just, I really don't see how this is a pick 'em fight. So we're big on Bahia. I've had 2. I might need to up that because the line is moving. But 2 units on Bahia, and he is going to be the consensus bet of the week. Are we given that at
126?
126 is out there still. Yeah, I think the 125 is still there for Caesars players.
that
might
way.
Be the only spot that's left. And I'm going to try and make sure that I get in on that for a little bit more.
There we go.
Yeah, there it is. We kept it relatively tidy tonight, folks. Thank you for joining us. That was UFC 300.
Hell of a card.
I know there's probably other stuff happening. The Masters is this week. We don't want to talk about it. There's going to be shitty cards after it. We don't want to talk about those. Enjoy this while it's here.
Do we have a week off? Or are we?
We do have a week off. If this card shows up, maybe we do. We do a quick one. Just a quick recap show. Talk about our boy DuBronx doing what he needs to do.
If he gets Shurukian out of there and he don't get the very next title shot, we fucking right. We absolutely right.
If he gets Shurukian out of there, Islam is already ducking him. He's a coward. We all know it. It's okay.